Thank you very much. I don't want to spoil something really, really rich in this place this morning. Are you sensing that? Do you sense what God is doing in the midst of us? It's rich. It's powerful. My friend used the word elevator. There's something elevating happening here today. Can I tell you something? God wants to bring us higher. He doesn't want to keep us too earthbound. He wants to get us up. Okay? And I'm not going to sit here and try to cast you down. It's not in my nature to try to cast you down. But, you know, there's something that from the Father heart of God that he wants to bring across to our attention. And the word imitate has been used to talk about something. If there's anything to imitate in Philip DeFries, it's just because of who Jesus is. Okay? Can somebody say amen? It's not Philip. Whoever Jesus is, I want him to be high and lifted up. Okay? Now, some of you are looking at me a bit quizzically. Okay, let me answer the question. I'm born and bred in the United States of America, even though I have the name DeFries. Everybody wonders about that. And I always tell people there's more people of German Dutch extraction in the United States than in South Africa any day. All right? Guess what? I'm married to a Van Heerden. And my sister was married to a Van der Merwe. How do you like that? Talk about a ware Suid-Afrikaner. Anyway, I've lived here, I've lived in George for 16 plus years. I've lived in the Republic of South Africa for 31 plus years, since 1972, off and on. I love this land. I love South Africa. I believe in this land. I believe we are going to be seeing miracles in this land that are going to boggle the imaginations of the whole world. There's something that God wants to do. God wants to create a nation of people that are so united and so ignited by God. United with God, ignited by God. That there will be a transformation that will have nothing to do with man's definition of transformation. Nothing to do with it. There's something that God wants to set us free in. Anyway, don't let me get sidetracked. There are some things that I've written down that I feel the Holy Spirit is impressing on me to say in this place this morning. And but I want you to get this text. These two texts that we're going to be dealing with deal with the three points I'm going to be sharing with you. And number one, the first text is in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. That's where we're going to be reading from in a moment. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. And the second one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 20, all right? So if you want to get there, you can hold that place. But then if you're taking notes or if you're not, our topic is this, that we are all, not just Philip, not just Leon, not just anybody else in this place, but we are all ambassadors for Christ. That's our topic. We're all ambassadors for Christ. We're going to follow a certain theme here this morning as well. and I want you to get this into your consciousness. Our calling in life is to represent Jesus wherever we go. That's our calling. I want to represent Jesus. He's my best friend. He's the one who is my example. He's the one who came to set men free. He's the one who liberates us from the law of sin and death. Jesus. So the theme of what we're going to try to express here today has to do with this, that we are here, our calling in life is to represent Jesus wherever we go. Whether it's in public or whether it's in private, we are representatives of Jesus. I'm going to say some things here this morning that I think everybody needs to hear it. And you need to have an open heart, because there are certain things that are accentuated in Scripture and some things that are not. But they tie together with other things that are quite important for us to remember. When we begin to get down to brass tacks with what God's Word says, there's a certain liberty that we begin to partake of. And so what I want to share with you, I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, because once again it verifies what our topic is all about. We are therefore Christ's as ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Whew. I'm important enough to God and to Jesus that he wants to make an appeal through you and through me. Wow. Means I'm a pretty important person. I'm a pretty important person to God. But in order to be a very important person to God, I need to be his servant. I must adopt a servant attitude. I'm in subservience to him. I want to hear his voice. I want to feel his heart. I want to know what he knows. Don't want to be satisfied with what I am currently experiencing or the current knowledge of what I have. I want an eternal dissatisfaction to be inside of me so I can yearn for more of Jesus. Did that make sense? I want an eternal dissatisfaction so I can know more of Jesus. There's always space for God to do something new. I am encouraged as I approach my 70th birthday that I have a 10-year plan in front of me. By the time I turn 80, certain things must be accomplished. Why do I believe that? Because the best is yet to come. Moses got started when he was 80, leading the children of Israel. Caleb, after he was 80 years old, was taking down the giants in the land of Israel. He was taking them down. You're right. I have no retirement plans. And there's nothing in the bank that will verify that if I have any kind of retirement plans anywhere. I promise you. His kingdom is so important. I want to continue on. But I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. It says there, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Fragrant. There's some things I like to smell. There's some things I don't like to smell. Oof. We were in Nysna yesterday. We walked into a section down near the sea. And Miranda and I had to hold our nose. I mean, beautiful, beautiful section. But we just had to walk on by because it was so rancid. It was pathetic. But we went down by the sea and got that wonderful whiff of the heads. You know what it's like at the heads down there? Oh, it's magnificent what happens there, and the waves crashing in and enjoying all of that. Yeah. Well, I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians. Look at that chapter 5 and verse 20 one more time, and notice what it says in chapter 6 and verse 1. Can somebody read that in your Bible? Somebody read that, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. As God's fellow workers. What does that say? Fellow workers, co-workers. I want to plant a vision here today. 1,000 co-workers, 1,000 fellow workers. God wants to raise up fellow workers. I'm constantly reminded by God, and this is good for a lot of people here this morning. It says in Galatians chapter 6, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint. Okay? Now, how does the job get done properly? When we become fellow workers. When every person supplies the need that is represented and registered in a community and in a body of believers. But I want you to look at something else, because when I begin to consider who we are, if we're going to represent Jesus, let me give a little bit of a background. How many people were alive in 1979? Raise your hands. Okay? Yeah, quite a number. 1979, there was a conference in Pretoria. It was called South African Christian Leadership Assembly. I was there with a number of people from all over the country, from all over the world. One of the speakers was a guy by the name of Justice Duplessis. I know I'm abusing his name. He allowed me to call him that. Because he says, you're a Yank. I know the proper way to say it is Justice Duplessis, something like that. But Justice was a good friend. And he stood up in the midst of that South African Christian Leadership Assembly, and he called for the people to accept that God is looking for a Christian counterculture that will be the opposite of culture as we know it. Quite a powerful statement, you will agree, where there were so many cultures that were represented in that one place, coming from all over South Africa, coming from many diverse backgrounds, representing the rainbow nation that this nation is. And he called for a Christian counterculture that is led by the Word of God. Can I tell you? Did he give a popular word? As a matter of fact, it wasn't popular. As a matter of fact, I heard some people booing him while he spoke. But you see, folks, if we're going to get anywhere with God, If we're going to do something in society that's going to make a difference, there we go. If we're going to make a difference, then we're going to have to accept that there is a Christian way to do things. Why? Because we represent Jesus wherever we go. I am a representative of the Most High God. Some of you know that I put a daily blurb on Facebook. It's a daily thing. Guess what? I'm going to make a book out of that. All the stuff that I'm doing with that and the people's responses that come back on that, I want to make a book on it. Leon published my first book that I put out, Soaring Like Eagles. But there's coming a time where we're going to be in a place where we're going to publish all these remarks that are going to come, because there is something in the heart of God that says that I am an ambassador for God, and as a result of that, there's a certain kind of a behavior that God is calling me to. I watch what I do. I don't just do willy-nilly anything I want to do, because I'm under the authority of Jesus Christ. His authority means everything. So I watch what I do. I watch what I say. Do I do it perfectly? Of course not. Anybody who knows me knows that it's not, perfection is not in this life. There are times when we slip. There are times when we do not perfectly represent Jesus when we get in the flesh. But that's why it's so important to be in a place of such relationship with Him that we are experiencing in His heart, no matter what, that we keep our eyes upon Jesus, that we keep in touch with Him, that we pray always, as the Bible says, always ready to move into prayer. So, ambassadors, very important, very sensitive role that we play in our communities. John Stott wrote a book back in the 1970s. It's called The Christian Counterculture. I've got a guy that took my book and he hasn't given it back to me 6 months later. I don't like these guys that take my books. But recently he came to me and he said, Philip, I need to hold it a little bit longer. He said, it's such a great study book. I said, all right, I just want accountability, that's all. I just want to know that you haven't forgotten that it's my book. John Stott is an Anglican theologian who's the Queen of England's private chaplain kind of a thing. And John Stott wrote the book, The Christian Counterculture, but it's an exposition. It's an exposition on Matthew chapter 5 through 7, which is, as you know, the Sermon on the Mount. In it, he says, this is what we would call the manifesto of God's kingdom. The way that Jesus outlined to his disciples and said, this is the way I want you to conduct yourself. All right? The Christian Counterculture by John Stott. I think they've got it in another name these days other than that. But in my hands, I've got a diagram. It's called the Seven Mountains of Culture. I want you to look at this. I won't pin it up, but there's something about representing Jesus that says that Jesus wants to be in all segments of society, at any time, anywhere, under any circumstance, no matter what. All right? The Seven Mountains of Culture. Anybody want to take a guess at what some of these Seven Mountains of Culture are all about? Anybody? All right. they condensed it down to five, but there's actually, I like saying that when it comes to the three that are there together in one, media, education, arts and entertainment, I see them as separate, but family is right at the base. The bedrock of society, the bedrock of society is family. That's right at the base. Do you understand why there's such a fight on the go about families? Because the cultural base that we operate from takes this institution, if we want to put it that way, or this organism, which I prefer, and it just decimates it across the board. Everything militates to try to tear families apart. Everything. Life works in that direction. Thereby, when we begin to look at family, the emotional health and well-being comes into play. But now, what about the worldview? In my hands, I hold a card. It's a card holder. I'm the shareholder chairman of Garden Route Film Studios. Guess what? It's right across the street. Now we can talk about it. We've kept it quiet for 3 years. Can I tell you what God wants to do? God wants to redeem the media. God wants to redeem arts and entertainment. He wants to redeem it. He wants to put men and women of God. God wants to put them into the right place to bring something higher rather than the kind of garbage that we've gotten used to. God says, I want to infiltrate that. I want to penetrate that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Education. Oh. In these times, the next time you come out to Life Community Services and see what's happening at the kitchen site there, we've got a brand new education facility. Right now, Life Community Services has been registered for the teaching of students from grade 1 to grade 7. Why? Because it's time to redeem the education of our children. Well, Donnie knows all about it. One of the finest teachers that South Africa has ever produced is Wumdani. And don't play golf with him because he'll kill you. I've tried. I have never beaten him on a golf course. It's one of those things. But you know what? When we really get down to understanding, God wants to redeem. Hear this, folks. God wants to redeem government. Can you imagine what would happen if our government humbled themselves? Oh, the whole world would sit up and take notice. Can you imagine when God's got the attention of the leaders of government? My word, what could not happen within this land? Can I say something about government? Last year, as Mr. Trump was running for president against 16 other candidates in the Republican Party alone, then running against Hillary Clinton, many of us around the world began to pray one prayer. Lord, raise up the righteous and cast down the wicked. Billy Graham's son, Franklin, says God answered that prayer with the current president. I know the man has got faults. I know, like, as wide as the Grand Canyon. I know all about that. But I know also that he's a man that has surrounded himself with godly men and women that are there sitting in his office every single day, urging this man to listen to God. I don't know if he's going to do it or not, but let's give him a chance. I know that there are people sitting in Parliament in South Africa that are doing exactly the same thing and are asking God to raise up godly voices. Have mercy on this land, O Lord. When we see what happened in Parliament this week, have mercy on this land. We need Jesus' people at the highest point of this land that will stand up and will say, oh, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Government. But we could go on to business. Does God want to redeem our business life? You bet. There's too much that's been going on for too long, that's been too shady, it's been too underground, it's been too compromising. And the time for all of that is now to stop. It's time to do business God's way. Can the church say amen? Time to do business God's way. It's time to listen to what he says. It's time to look at our bottom line and say, my bottom line is not how many rands I can put aside. My bottom line is my people that work for me. Woo! That could change the atmosphere big time. If people became important in our businesses. Yes, we need to make profits. Yes, we need to go out there and get all that's necessary in order to supply what is necessary for development. We do need that. But we need people to be given their proper place. And then the church. The church, the church, the church. I love the church of Jesus Christ. I've been in this church all my life. I love what God does amongst his people. I've got a daughter. Can we pull up those pictures possibly? I want to show you something. I got a beautiful, beautiful daughter. Her name is Marissa. While she was still doing business, she was studying. And ultimately, she got her degree in theology. Yeah. Took about 4 different colleges, but she finally got her degree. And Moraine and I were there when she got her degree, when she got her theological development and became ordained to the ministry. And we went across and became a part of that. And it was just awesome. But she's gone back into the community where we consider it as our hometown. It's called New Kensington, Pennsylvania. Most of what it is known by is the fact that the mafia has controlled it for many, many years. It's been under the influence of the mafia. It's been full of drugs. It's been full of all kinds of junk. The blight to the city causes the buildings to be torn down. There's all kinds of waste, and everything seems to be in decline. But my daughter rose up and said, it's time to redeem the city. Yes. It's a way to go. That's my Scoppy. My little Marissa, she's now 36 years old. Never been married, but boy, is she on fire for God. You know what? Not so long ago, we were back in the States. In fact, 3.5 weeks ago, we were still there. While we were there, she told us something that God was doing in a powerful way in New Kensington. She's put her vision out there, and an old friend of ours who's also in that town has a church in the town. He said, you know what? He came up to Marissa and he said, I've got a challenge for you. If you want to get on with this whole concept of redeeming all these different aspects, he said, I'm going to put something forward. I'm going to speak to some people. The bottom line is, I want you to look at these pictures. And as you look at that building right there, That's a Jewish synagogue that is no longer being used in the city of New Kensington. A Jewish synagogue. Now, there are other pictures that will come up that will show you what it looks like inside. All right? Look at this lovely, lovely building. Still further. Sorry about the quality of the pictures. 12 classrooms like this, sanctuary, hall, you name it, all of this in one place. Can I tell you? The rabbi sold that whole complex to my daughter for $1. $1. Your kingdom come, Lord Jesus, on this earth. Look at that. Just look at those pictures. I mean, can you imagine? Get on with the job of redeeming the city. Redeeming the city. And cooperation coming from different quarters. Go after the government guys and say, come on, if the rabbi can give me a place for $1, we've got a task on our hands. All right, I'm running out of time, so therefore, I got to leave a challenge with you. If we're going to represent Jesus wherever we go, point number one, get this down and get it down quickly. We must remember that children were the cornerstone of Jesus' life on earth. We must remember that. Remember in our text it talked about little children? We must remember that children were the cornerstone of Jesus' life on earth. Cornerstone means this, that they played an integral and not an incidental part of Jesus' ministry. The challenge of children. I want to leave that challenge. Children are always a challenge. Ask any mom and dad. Always challenging this, always challenging that. I tell one of my foster kids, over and over. Tell them, look, when you're in God, you're brilliant. When you're not in God, you are pretty dumb. Yesterday. He could come up with some of the flimsiest arguments I've ever heard when he's not in God. But when he's in the Lord, oh, I mean, it is amazing some of the things he comes up with. Children are an integral and not an incidental part of the kingdom of God. And they need to be part of our vision all across the board. Jesus would stop everything that he was doing so that he could spend time with children. Can I say something? You might think this is controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. Children are fully fledged members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Fully fledged members. We don't need to treat them as down under or whatever. We need to integrate them so much into the fabric of the church that they play a huge role for the kingdom of God. That's a challenge that we have at Life Community Services. When we go out there, we're watching a new generation. We're watching a new generation of children that God is raising up. Are they faultless? No. Are they different? Yes. Are they transformed? Many of them are. But all of them are getting the seed of the Word of God every day of their lives. Every single day. They're not just getting physical food, they're getting spiritual manna every single day. Children. Point number one. Children were the cornerstone of Jesus' life on earth. Number two, our cultures must become subservient to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 really gets into this, our culture, because in that same passage, prior to that, it said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I need to become enculturated in the Word of God. I need to be motivated by the Word of God. I need to be living in the wonder of the Word of God. The culture that I'm part of is not that Philip DeVries is primarily an American living in South Africa. The culture that I'm part of is that I am a Christian striving to reflect Jesus in this society. That is above any other culture, far above, because a Jesus culture transforms us inside out and maintains us under the banner of the cross. So when people hear my accent, they'll say, that's an American. Yeah, but when they look at my life, they must see that, like it was said of the disciples of old, that man has been with Jesus. That lady, my wife, has been with Jesus. Our children have been with Jesus. And then we'll begin to see what God can do on behalf of those who trust him. So, secondly, our cultures must become subservient to the Word of God. Finally, no sacrifice for Jesus will be too great. When I look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, follow God's example as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. I don't shy away from the word sacrifice. I do not. I believe in the word sacrifice. I believe there is no gain without pain. I believe that something needs to be laid down. If I don't have anything left for me on this earth, that's no big deal. Because I know if I stay faithful to the Lord, number one, he will take care of all of my needs according to his riches and glory while I'm here on this earth as I stay faithful to him. And ultimately, my reward is not going to be on this earth, but will be up there. And whatever that is, I don't care. I just know that God has it reserved. So it's just walk in whatever manner God says to, lay down your life. Can I tell you something? The word witness in the New Testament is a Greek word called martyrio. M-A-R-T-Y-R-E-O. Martyrio. That's where we get our English word martyr. Okay? Our English word martyr comes from martyrio. You shall be my witnesses, the Bible says, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of this, which means you will be those who lay down your lives for those, for Jesus Christ, in whatever place God calls us to. Can I tell you something else? The word ambassador basically has the same meaning as the word apostle. Basically has the same meaning. Because in the early days, when the Roman Empire was still around, they were sending apostles all over the world, and they were representatives of the king wherever they went. They called them apostles. The church bought into it and said, all right, our job is now to become ambassadors or apostles for Jesus Christ. Let's become representatives for him. This morning, I was looking, as I finish up, I want to ask the question, accept the challenge. And as I was meditating this morning, early this morning, I was just bringing out a point to the Lord. I said, God, I know what I've got on my heart, but please send me a confirmation. You know what God did? Kept a little lady up late in the night in the United States of America. Because they're in the middle of the night as we speak. And there was a little gal, she's very artistic, very creative. She was one of my students when I was teaching in a Christian school in America. Her name is Kathleen. Kathleen sent this word on Facebook just as I finished my prayer. And it was very, very powerful indeed. I want to finish with what she had to say. She said, Philip, Lance Wallnau, by the way, this is his graphic. Lance Wallnau calls 2017 the clashing of the swords. The swords of righteousness, the swords of unrighteousness. 2017 is called the clashing of the swords. How deeply progressivism and Marxism has embedded itself into the fiber of the American institutions which shaped the popular narrative has been exposed. Mr. Trump's presidency is a direct threat to that narrative and the powers that be. Can I just say, it's not Trump's presidency. It's a threat to the powers which be. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God that is a threat to the powers. Therefore, when we in the Church of Jesus Christ decide that it's time to get rid of our divisions, walk in unity and love, together, it starts right here in this room. When we begin to do that, lockstep with Jesus Christ, when we begin to do that, we will make such an impact. We will cause all the forces of wickedness and darkness to begin to sit up and take notice. There's a big change coming about. Yes, there's a clashing of the swords because Jesus is coming soon. That's the challenge to all of us. Are we going to walk in lockstep with Jesus Christ, or are we just going to live our simple existence walking along this pathway? Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we accept the challenge to be your representatives, to be your representatives wherever we go. Whatever you call us to, we will answer. I pray for the divine enablement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Come over this congregation today. This group of people that are called by your name, that are motivated by your love, I pray that there will be just that wonderful sense that you've called us to go to higher ground. You're taking the elevator upwards. You're moving us in ways like we've never known before. God has just been working in your heart here today with every head bowed and every eye closed. Just raise up your hand and just say, God has been saying something to me that I need to hear. Just raise your hand. Raise it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, what we need to do is to incubate what God has been saying. I cannot, as a man of God, dictate what God is saying to you, but you know what God's saying to you. You know what he's been impressing upon your heart. You know the disobedience that have sometimes been a part of your life. God wants you right where you're sitting to make that decision now, to just follow in his ways and to be a respondent. And then we can then take that which God has done and cement it inside of you and say, how can we put clarity and definition upon that as we go forward? Father, I pray with everybody that you've been working with here, just do a cementing of this work. I pray this now in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus, name above every name, which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.